So I want to be passed around so bad, but my boyfriend just wants a monogamous relationship. It's 2024. Expecting to be with one person for your entire life is like unreasonable. I'm a young 18-year-old Latina. I'm trying to get my face blasted by multiple men. Like, I haven't even had a quickie in a bathroom stall. I have so much to live for. And you're telling me that I have to stay with this one guy because I love him so much. But there's literally guys out there with 13-inch meats waiting to destroy me. It would just be so unfortunate if I were to go my whole entire life without getting piped by at least 100 different people just to see who I like the most.
Let me get a good fucking idea. Oh, here, let me fuck your face again then. Oh, right there. Oh, right there. Oh. Oh yeah, press my ball too. Oh, right there. Fuck yeah, I can feel your tonsils on my cock. Get a good fucking idea. Oh, here, let me fuck your face again, man. Let me. Oh, right there. Oh, right there.
Let me get a good show out of me for you here on February 26, 2024, on Monday morning. I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. I know I did. It was great because I slept. I did nothing but sleep. And I got some videos done for YouTube, and I got some voiceovers done for my voiceovers. I'm all caught up for the first time ever since I started doing voiceovers. I'm all caught up, and it's pretty cool, pretty good feeling, pretty satisfying, especially because I can go on YouTube and I'm like pop on these videos, and I'm like, hey, that's me. It's weird because I'm like, that's not me. That's like some professional sounding guy, you know? So in keeping up with the last show, 24 expressions with racist origins, you should stop saying, slurring my words like an old drunk here. I guess the brain still hasn't rewired itself properly. But 24 expressions with racist origins, you should stop saying. We were through the first half of that, and now we're going to move on to the rest of them. I'm going to have to give you a quickie this morning. I hope you don't mind. Because I'm actually have to go into work much, much earlier than usual. So it's going to have to be a quickie. What? And I hope that. Wait a minute, Joe, aren't all of yours quickies? Hey. Yes, but that's none of your concern. I'll thank you not to bring that up. Okay. Let's get your shit together here, Joe. All right. So, 24 expressions with racist origins you should stop saying. I was going over them and saying whether I agreed or not that they were something we should stop saying. So, here we go.
I'm over here stroking my dick. I got lotion on my dick right now. I'm just stroking my shit.
The term grandfather clause means an old law continues to apply in certain situations instead of the new law. Unfortunately, the original grandfather clause was used in the American South to deny black people the right to vote, stating that only people who could vote before 1866 and their descendants were exempt from educational, property, or tax requirements for voting. I did not know that. I have used that quite often, because that comes into play with the taxes on my health. This just in. Joey Valentine, still learning to talk, and we're going to see how that works out by the end of this show. No, but seriously, my taxes on my house, I was able to keep at the low price of only $2,000 because they are grandfathered clause in, was what I was told. I it's an expression that I've heard that everyone uses. I don't think, I guarantee you, you know, if I was to do one of those things where people are like on the street with a microphone and they're asking people, like, do you know what grandfather clause means? They'd be like, yeah, it means exactly what the fuck I just said it means. But they won't know anything about it having any kind of slavery connotations unless they went to college and they learned it from one of their left-wing, super liberal 1619 project professors. Because that's the kind of shit that you just don't need to bring up because it's unnecessary. See, if no one knows that it used to have a racist overtone, then there's no fucking point in bringing it back up. Because if absolutely no one gives a shit, then no one can be offended. But when you gotta go out of your way to be like, wait a minute, me over here in my private little liberal bubble has a problem with this because 200 years ago it meant this. Well, it doesn't now, bitch, okay? Or sir, dick face, whatever. So grandfather clause, you're going to get a pass and you're going to stay grandfather clause in to my vernacular. We're going to move on to the next one now. Ghetto. On a cold and wet Tuesday morning, little child born in the ghetto. In the ghetto. In ancient Venice, the ghetto was the area where Jewish people lived, so using this word to describe a neighborhood or area as poor, low-class, or dangerous implies that the speaker thinks the minorities or racialized groups living there are all of those things as well. That is probably true. I have always heard the terms like Warsaw Ghetto being referred to the Jews back in the day when they were not doing so well in that area of the country. And I never thought that ghetto was not probably a racist term. I mean, you would say, like, growing up, you know, anybody, any white person I knew, or even myself, I'm sure, when you said, like, oh, yeah, he lives in the ghetto, you were referring to, like, the black part of town, because that's just... I will not deny that I have said racist things in my life. That's just fucking stupid, because everyone has either said or thought them plenty of times. People think of race. I mean, you can never, it's not something you can eliminate. It's something that's always going to be there. And, you know, when I was being raised, I have a very racist father. I don't know how he feels now. I imagine that he was just racist because his father was very racist. I don't think that my father was so much legitimately racist as he was just raised poorly. And I made that little trend stop in my generation. In this family, because when I was growing up, I heard him say a lot of things that I will not ever repeat on here or even in real life, because they were awful, awful things. And it was actually because of these awful things that my father said, they helped me grow up to be not racist, because seeing the foul shit coming out of my father's mouth unnecessarily. It wasn't like he was arguing with a black man and he used the N-word or something. I mean, it was just like very, very off-colored, inappropriate, you know, cringy fucking comments. Not jokes, just comments about black people. And I remember being a kid and thinking to myself, why would you talk about anyone like that? That's just awful. I mean... I guarantee you that a lot of times in real life, whenever a white person uses the N-word, it is not really, and hear me out, okay, before you start jumping down my fucking throat about this, but hear me out completely. I think a lot of white people, when they use the N-word, if they get caught doing it, when they do it, like they get into an argument with a black person, it's just an easy go-to to be ugly, to get fired up at them. It's not that that person is actually racist, okay? It's like when I was in elementary school, okay, if a fat kid had come up to me and he started picking on me, what would I say to him, right? Like if he was like, oh, hey, you're buck-toothed and your hair's stupid and your mom's a hoe, what would I go for? What would be the first thing that I would say? What, am I going to look at his credit score? Am I going to have a look at his fucking progress report and see how his grades are? No, I'm going to call him fat. It's the easiest thing to go to because I can see it and I know it's going to piss him off and I know there's nothing he can do about it. Well, the same thing goes for calling a black person the N-word. It's easy. It's going to get them fired up, and you know that it's going to piss them off as equally as they've pissed you off. So I don't think that, I think you get caught up in the moment. I mean, I've never called a black, I mean, I've called a black person the N-word to their face, but, you know, with the A on the end, like, what up, my, you know, because I get a pass because I have black friends that are really cool. And anyway, but I mean, I would never, ever, 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 no matter how angry I am, I would never be like fucking, you know, and say that. More for fear of getting absolutely murdered. No, I'm just joking. I think it's a coward's way out. And, you know, sometimes when you don't have a leg to stand on in an argument, it's the go-to. So I think that a lot of people probably mistakenly use it out of anger. I have called women the C word, which for some reason seems to be like the unholiest word you can ever use on a woman and the most unforgivable. I have actually lost a girlfriend for calling her daughter that. True story. Call her daughter was an adult, so let's not, like, this wasn't like it was a six-year-old, okay? She wanted to play adult games with me, so she got called an adult word. And I got broken up with because of that, which, of course, I did. It's not like she was going to take my side on that argument, no matter how wrong her daughter was. But it was, she had done something. She had posted some stuff on the internet about me that was very, very embarrassing. It's not that it didn't happen. It's just that it was embarrassing. See, I'm going to just go ahead and tell you the story. So you're all going, okay, what the fuck? I had gone out to San Marcos and I just to see my girlfriend, and I had taken another girlfriend of mine with me, or to drive me there, because I didn't have a car at the time. And so we drove out to San Marcos, and this freak storm happened, like, just randomly out of nowhere at like 2 a.m. And before the storm even hit, the police had come by, and the police had said, you need to evacuate the building. And we're like, whatever, dude, you know, there's nothing happening, a little sprinkle maybe. And then sure enough, about 30 minutes later, it was raining so hard that there was water coming in through the electrical outlets of the house, and we were knee deep in water. And so I woke up Heather, and I woke up Chris, and I woke up her kids. And I said, give me your phones. And I took all of our phones and I sealed them in a Ziploc bag. And I took my laptop and I put it on the highest thing I could find in the house, in the top of a closet. And I pulled the door open. By this time, the door to the apartment, the water was as high as the top of the door. So I told everyone, I said, you got to be ready when I open this door, because it's going to get, you know, the house was just flooding. So I put one foot on the wall and my hands on the doorknob, and I pulled it open, and the water came flowing in, and everybody had hold of me, and it was crazy. So her two kids are holding on to me, and I've got Heather in one hand and Chris in the other, and two kids on my back, and I'm walking in water that's about up to my nipples. I mean, so it's that high, and I'm in a parking lot, mind you. Then that's how high the water is. And one of the kids actually came loose. There was a rapid coming from right to left on me, and it was very, very heavy. And I was fighting with all my strength. And one of the kids actually lost their grip holding on to me and started to get pulled away. And I lunged out and I grabbed that kid by the wrist, or she was going to be gone. I mean, like, gone, because they had search rescue boats all after this looking for people. And here we are trudging through this water, and I finally get us to higher ground, and there's an apartment complex, and all these people are just taking in people from around the other apartment complexes, inviting them into their homes, because, you know, their apartment complex is on a hill. And so everyone's doing the right thing and letting people come in. So I'm finally going to get to what I did that embarrassed me. This is not the girlfriend that broke up with me. This is she broke up with me because my bathroom wasn't clean enough. Can you fucking believe that? She actually left my house and went to use the bathroom at the gas station because she said it was cleaner than my bathroom. And I had scrubbed that fucking thing vigorously before she came to visit me. And I was like, you're a fucking psycho. if you think that the Shell bathroom is cleaner than my bathroom, and I never saw her again. Also, she was some sort of like the paleontologist who handled skulls all day, so that just never sat right with me. I can always feel like dead people are under fingernails. During that little stay during the flooding, I fell asleep, and I guess my pants were half off my ass, and so Heather stuck a banana in my ass. Not like inserted it literally, but you know, she took a banana and stuck it between my cheeks, and then she snapped a picture of it and she put it on Facebook. Well, I, being the good sport that I am, didn't care and don't. I think it was funny. It was very funny. It would not have been funny if it had been the other way around, a man sticking a banana on a woman's ass and taking a picture of it in her sleep. But like I said, I'm a good sport. And anyway, later on down the road, as I was dating this other girl who had a grown daughter who had a fucking mouth on her, and for some reason, like the first week that I had started dating her mom, she had friended me on Facebook and gone through every one of my pictures and liked and commented on all of them. And then, I don't know, her and I got into a fight about something, and I can't remember what it was, and I called her the C word. And then she took that banana in my ass picture and posted it like all over her friends' Facebooks and all kinds of stuff. Like, look at this loser with a banana in his ass. And I was like, really, dude? Like, this is my life. And yeah, that's the last I ever saw of them.
Smooth and lubricated.
As always. I did have a point to my story. I don't remember what it was. So let's just move on to the next thing. Thug. The word is thug. THUG, like slim. Although this word originated in India and meant ruffian or troublemaker, it's now used primarily in a negative context by white people to label younger black people, particularly men, as violent, irrational, untrustworthy, or gang members. The label is often applied based on how the person dresses, looks, or speaks, rather than by their actions. Okay. Words like that have existed forever, like the word hood or gang member. The entire rap culture embraces the word thug. How many people have thug in their name or thug tattooed on their chest or thug tattooed on their stomach? Thug does not get canceled, I'm sorry. And I didn't know that started in India, but whatever. Calling someone a thug because they look like a thug is not racist. It's actually just, it's classist. You know, to say, like, that person looks like that, they must be in a gang, and they're broke, and they're poor. But I can't see that having any kind of, how race would play into that. So let's move on. Thug, you are safe. Next word is fuzzy wuzzy. I got nothing. I have no idea why fuzzy wuzzy is on here. Sounds cute and cuddly, like the teddy bear in the nursery rhyme, right? Not so fast. British colonial soldiers in the 1800s used this racist expression to refer mockingly to East African nomads who had curly hair and dark skin, and its use later expanded to describe people from other areas such as Papua New Guinea and Sudan. Okay, I've never heard that before, and that does sound like it's extremely racist, and probably no one uses it anymore. So we're going to not add that one to the vocabulary. And we're going to cancel it. Sounds bad. Next up, inner city. It may sound like a simple geographic reference. He's from the inner city. But in America, this phrase is often used as coded language to describe African Americans, with the implication of laziness, poverty, criminality, and dependence on welfare. It's got them all right there in two easy words, inner city. In other words, it's racist, judgmental, and unkind. Inner city. Inner city? No, I'm sorry. That is not used for black people. Inner city is used for poor people. You say inner city, it's the same thing as saying ghetto, or the bad part of town, or on the other side of the tracks. I hate when people try and make everything about racism against black people. You're forgetting that there is a hierarchy of rich v. poor. Okay, which is much bigger of a gap. So you can't just take something and be like, well, that's because black people. No, it's not because of black people. Yeah, granted, a lot of black people live in a lot of poor communities. That's because after slavery, they kind of really had nowhere to go. And so they, you know, migrated to areas where they stuck together and tried to make lives for themselves. We don't need to get into that. That's been an ugly mess ever since. Tipping point is the next one. Though it began as a phrase that meant what it said, the point at which something began to tip. In 1950s America, it took on a new racist meaning, the point at which a certain percentage of black families moved into a neighborhood, thereby initiating the departure of white families to other areas. I'm sorry, I should not laugh at that, but it sounds funny. Well, Bob, that's the tipping point. Negroes are moving in. I'm out of here. All right, Jay. Just, you know what? I know a good realtor. Just, we'll go look at another neighborhood. They're like, hi, we're the blacks. Yeah, you are. Terrible, terrible. I know. All right. So, tipping point. That does sound, I don't use tipping point in my day-to-day or even my ever so often. Tipping point? Like, you know what, lady? You've got me at my tipping point right now. I'm really about to tip. I'm tipping over. Tipping point. Tip, 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 tip.
Yeah.
And, well, this one deserves a musical intro. Jew him down. This one couldn't possibly be racist. You know, I'm kind of confused. Okay, somebody tell me if I'm wrong here, but is it racism when you don't like Jews, or is it prejudice? Or, I mean, because you hear anti-Semitism used, you don't ever hear specifically people say racism, right? Because Jewish people aren't a race, are they? Are they? I mean, because it's not like a biological thing, like, oh, he's got Jewish blood. Because, like, what I'm saying is like, Jewish, to me, Judaism has always been, like, an identifier by religion. And, you know, anyone can become Jew-ish, sorry, can become a Jew, can become Jewish, you know, by doing all the things that you need to do, like, that Jewish people do when, you know, like, with the 13-year-old and then, like, learning to read the, I don't know. Forgive me for not knowing, but the scriptures that they're supposed to learn and read in Hebrew and things like that. You know, so if you go to the church and they accept you, you can become a Jew. You don't have to be born one. And I mean, it's not racism, right? It's like bigotry, it's prejudice, anti-Semitism, because. Like, I couldn't be black. I mean, well, in 2024 America, I could, I suppose, identify as black, but I couldn't just go to the nation of black people and be like, hey, I'd like to be black. And then they give me like a test, you know, like a book to read, like, here, read Black Like Me and and the Emancipation Proclamation and memorize it. And then we'll have you watch some old reruns of almost said Mama's Family. Okay, what's that damn show with JJ on it? Oh my God, terrible. Anyway, so, no, you see what I'm saying. You can't go in there and be like, hey guys, hey, how's it going, black folk? You know, I got a hankering to be black today. I was just wondering if you could let me into that club. Yes, sir. You passed the test. Here's your giant penis. Enjoy being black. Try to go the speed limit. I'm too funny for myself.
I'm over here stroking my dick. I got lotion on my dick right now. I'm just stroking my shit.
All right, so now that we've established absolutely nothing, if I'm talking to myself, but no, Jews are not a race. They can't be a race. They have to. They're a people. They're an organization of people. I don't know. It's very confusing. Anti-Semitism, unfortunately. Certainly hasn't disappeared since the horrific events of the Second World War. The phrase Jew him or her down is still used to refer to bargaining with someone for a lower price. It comes from very old offensive stereotypes of Jewish people as shrewd moneylenders who always haggled over the cost of something. Now, I'm going to set something straight about that, because you all know your friend, pal, Joey Valentine is not racist, not prejudiced. I've known some Jews. I've known some Jewish Jews. All right. And when it comes to stereotypes and Jewish people, they're not stereotypes. Okay. They're actual ways that Jewish people act. They're very tight-assed with their money. And they are, I mean, they own a lot of things. I mean, they're very good with their money. There's like nothing to be ashamed about. I don't even see how that's racist. Like, Jews run everything. Oh, well, that's because they're intelligent, you know? Like, if that is the case, that Jews secretly run the world, well, then they're pretty goddamn smart for doing so. Because they've been doing it without anybody else fucking realizing it for a very long time. All these things that the Jews are accused of are, like, complimentary. And if they're true, I mean, it even goes back to old Adolf, you know, like with the little chip on his shoulder, like Jews run the secretly run the world. Is it really? I mean, like, really, this minority of the human race is just running the world? I mean, I think you're giving humanity a little too much credit, first of all. But I know that there are a lot of Jewish stereotypes. I'm air quoting here. They are not stereotypes. Jews really do act a certain way, and it's just the same as any other race or whatever we want to call them, that people have certain qualities, like how white people act, how black people act, how Mexicans act, and it's funny. You can make jokes about them. Saying it Jewed him down, yeah, that's not cool. I could see being offended by that, but when we were in high school, that was a very, very popular thing to say. It had gotten so popular when I was in like 9th and 10th grade. Was be like, don't Jew me. You know, we didn't say Jew him down. I never heard that. But we'd always be like, don't Jew me. Don't be a Jew. That was like a thing. I didn't even know what a Jew was. I'm not even going to lie. Like, when I was 14 years old, I didn't even know what a Jew was. I just knew that they had, like, curly locks and wore a yarmulke. I didn't even know the word yarmulke. I had never had any exposure to a Jewish person in my life except Jesus. And I had never, you know, even, you don't talk about the Jews in a Christian faith, at least not in a Baptist church. They're not like, you know, they're not going to praise the Jews because they killed our Lord and Savior. Some people will say, I think that's a horrible thing to say, but the Jews, wonderful people. Anyway, I had a bass player in my band. And he was very Jewish, and I clowned him about that all the time, and he loved playing the part of the Jew. And when we were in high school, anyway, everybody said, Jew, don't Jew me, you Jewed me. And then there was another one, was because there was a certain stereotype that Jews love bagels, which, I mean, everyone loves bagels, but, you know, your New York Jews, your Hasidic Jews, I've got to have my bagel. They love their bagels. So if anybody was like being cheap, you know, we'd be like, all right, he's got the bagels. He's getting the bagels out, which is actually pretty funny if you think about it. I mean, I'm sure no one's ever heard that before. And I was like, our thing. And it'd be like, oh, Ed's got the bagels. Ed's got the bagels. Harmless. And we had a couple of Jews in our group that we ran with. You know, it's funny that the group I ran with, the skater crowd, was so diverse. Long before diversity was a thing. Long before the United States strived to be as diverse as it is, man. I came from the whitest corn-fed cracker fucking quarterback cheerleader football school that had, out of 2,000 students, probably had just a handful of black and Mexican students. I mean, maybe like 2-3 black people, maybe 15 Mexicans. And they didn't speak English, so they were all stuck in one little room together. Isn't that terrible? Their moms probably served our food. That's probably how they swung that. And I'm not trying to be racist with that. I mean, I'm dead serious. And in my group, the skaters and the punk rockers, we had white kids. We had fat kids. We had black kids. We had one of the only black kids was a skater in our group. We had a Spanish punk rocker. What's up, Manuel? Heidi to you in Sweden. We had a Jewish girl. We had a Nazi skinhead from Costa Rica. Yeah, no bullshit. He was Costa Rican, is still Costa Rican, and was a fucking huge, huge Nazi skinhead. And somehow, throughout all of these very, very, very different views, very, very conflicting ways of thinking, this group was tight and was and still is. They still talk to all of these people. And that's that, to me, is the American dream when it comes to getting people to stop the bullshit and stop caring so much about the little itty-bitty things. You just respect everyone's fucking space. Respect the fact that if someone thinks a certain way, that's their right. It's in the Constitution. You don't need to make it your life's work to end that person's way of thinking. If they don't do anything that directly affects you, then just leave them the fuck alone. I mean, right? Isn't that the dream? To be able to say, I feel and think this way, and I worship this way, and I don't like these people, and I do like these people, and that's my right as an American? Isn't that why we founded this country? To escape prosecution for things like religion? Well, I'm just saying. I'm not saying we should, you know, get cuddly with Nazis, but, you know, we should really think about picking our battles here. All right. The next one on the list is Oriental. I'm going to have to wrap this up here in a second. Oriental. Now, I already know that the word Oriental does not mean what people think it is. You know, have you ever heard someone, they're like, oh, he was an Oriental. I knew ever since I was young that's, I'm like, Oriental is like a rug. Okay, that's like a fucking type of rug. It's not a human being. There's no one from the Orient. There's no one Oriental. And so let me see what this says. The word itself means Eastern. But the problem with referring to people from East Asia as Oriental is that it implies that they are different, not Western, not white, and somehow lesser than. Okay, well, that's just fucking stupid. East Asians have never referred to themselves as Orientals, nor should anyone, when it's just as simple to say Asian or their specific nationality. See, I don't agree with that. I think it just, I don't know how Oriental, I have to look into the Oriental word. I don't think that's right. It doesn't imply that, hey, he's from the East. Oh, you say I'm not white? Like, they're gonna be offended. I'm gonna be offended by that fucking accent I just did, but hey. Cotton picking. Just a cotton picking minute. Even Bugs Bunny used this expression, but its history is bleak. You didn't say. Was there something bad in our country tied to cotton from a long time ago? I had heard that maybe there was, but what's the deal with cotton? Cotton picking? Wait a cotton picking minute. Its history is bleak because cotton was picked almost exclusively by black slaves in the southern United States. Many people believe it to be a derogatory term, and may or may not be, but enough people consider it offensive that it's best not to use it. And there's a link. There's a highlighted link on enough people consider it offensive that I'm just going to have to click on and see what the fuck it says. Five English phrases with seriously racist history. Okay. And it looks like it's a link to the same bullshit I'm reading. Here we go with cotton picking. This is the other article. The phrase, are you out of your cotton picking mind? See, to me, cotton picking was just a way for people to replace goddamn. You know, you wouldn't, like, if someone didn't want to swear, some people believe that that's taking the Lord's name in vain. I really don't, because it's just two words just put together to mean, you know, I'm angry. So you have, you know, if someone would go, oh, wait a goddamn minute, or wait a fucking minute. No, now you could say, wait a cotton picking minute. You see, it's just one of those things. It's like, oh, cheese and crackers. So this seems to have a serious racial overtone, particularly against black slaves. Blah, 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 blah. Be-be-de-be-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de-be-de We are going to say cotton picking is not okay, but I'm not going to cancel it. So, all right. And finally, to wrap things up, we got the expression chop chop, which I definitely say all the time. I would say chip chop chip. I don't, because what's his name? One of my favorite comedians, and now I can't even fucking remember his name because I have to remember his name in order to tell you what I'm talking about. He always says chip chop chip. But anyway. The phrase meaning hurry up, chop chop, comes from a Cantonese word cap or make haste. It is generally used condescendingly to someone the speaker considers to be below them in status, which only worsens the fact that it's making fun of the pidgin English spoken by Chinese immigrants. Oh, shut up! Yeah. Anyone out there still offended by chop chop? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? All right, folks, that's going to wrap up the show. And then your 24 expressions with racist origins that you should stop saying.
I'm over here stroking my dick. I got lotion on my dick right now. I'm just stroking my shit.
Joey, is that absolutely necessary? Yes, it is absolutely necessary. All right, everybody, have a wonderful week. I'll see you back here on Wednesday, and try to be nice out there, of course, and, you know, hug your kitties and smack your children and all that stuff. Everybody, have a good day. Have a good week. I'll see you soon. Did a lot of shit just to live this here lifestyle. Came straight from the bottom to the top of my lifestyle. Living life like a beginning. On clouds, and niggas still beginning. Million five on a Visa card. 100 bands, still a lot of fucking ties. Niggas serving quite white like I'm feeding sharks. I won't do nothing with the bitch, she can't even get me hot. Something wrong with the pussy. Even though I ain't gonna hit it, I'ma still make sure that she does shit. Cause me and my Riley don't get caught up like that, no way. No way. We ain't got time to go see doctors. Jay, woo. Hey, send money. I put my people up on the bitches. This is your bitch of performance. I do this shit for my daughters and all my sons, bitch. I'm running random bands up, take out they funds, bitch. I got a mom's bitch, she got a mom's bitch. I got sisters and brothers to feed. I ain't gone, not like no idiot, I'm a OG. Did a lot of shit just to live this here lifestyle. Came straight from the bottom to the top of my lifestyle. Chanel and these bitches can't see me. I'm in a whole nother league. I ain't got AIDS, but I swear to God I'ma bleed till I die. 28 flows up, I feel like I can FLYE. P on top of these bitches. God told me they can never stop me, so they ain't gon' stop me. I'm in that carpet with baby mommy, get sloppy toppy. I'm bleeding red like a devil. I see these bitches plotty. They wanna know I got M's and I didn't finish college. I done did a lot of shit just to live this here lifestyle. From the bottom to the top of my lifestyle. Nigga, living life like a beginning. This is only the beginning. I'm on the top of the mountain, puffing on clouds, and niggas still beginning. I do it for my daddy. I do it for my mama. Them long nights, I swear to God, I do it for the coma. I'm Willie B. B. on my chest in the jungle. Hey. Money, home, money, I got commas and they ain't paid. Sunday through Monday, I've been grinding with no sleep. Talking about taking something from me like no weed. Thuggle, thuggle, that my brother, brother. You don't want no trouble, trouble. Or you can't get these fish, knuckle, knuckle. Buckle up like a seatbelt or I shoot ya. Punching on the gas, too fast, and I lose ya. Give me a bed, and I do, huh? I want a head, Medusa. I swear a nigga gone, cause it's strong, I'm blowing super. Hey, hey, grinding for a new day. I'm skating like that nigga Lupe. Hey, I'm on the top, just like Toupe. Weed, I'm in her mouth, just like Toupe. Did a lot of shit just to live this here lifestyle. Came straight from the bottom to the top of my lifestyle.
Uptown, so swagged out.
Living like a beginner. This is only the beginning.
Hey, Vito. You understand me? Yeah, nigga. Just in the middle of this ocean. Pacific, that is, nigga. You understand me? Bunch of bad bitches. Yeah. Popping that GTV. Yeah. Living that lifestyle. Yeah. I do this for Miss Gladys, boy.